I think the hope is, okay, so the overall goal in my head, the number of days I have in my head I want to go on this tea break is 40 days.
Straight.
40 days straight, because previously my longest previous tea break was a solid 30, and I did that one. That was a solid 30. I stood on business and I finished it. And I can tell you, when that 30 days ended on day 31, I fired it up. And I can tell you, on day 31, boy, I was on the moon. So then I was like, okay, if I can do 30, and that was a couple years ago, you know what I mean?
100%.
I can do 40. Challenge myself. So now I'm here at 40 days. Here's the thing though. When I get to 40 days, then I got to feel like I got to make a decision. Either your tolerance will be low, so maybe you keep it piecemeal, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Only designate certain days to, you know what I mean, get it off, or stay cold turkey, never go back.
Oh, man, Lent would have been a perfect season for you because you'd be halfway through. Because
how long is Lent?
Days? I think Lent is 40 days, right?
Well, they didn't say you have to do it between a certain time period. They said you got to do it, right?
You just got to do it. Yeah, Lent's 40 days.
So we can use this podcast as an accountability teacher?
Let's do it. That's how we'll start each show. The question will be,
how accountable are we? But the thing is, 40 days, that's what? Four shows? No. Okay, sorry, people. My math is wrong. Five shows.
So you want to start this week? I know, and we'll talk about that. We're off the next 2 weeks. Do you want to start this week and do a check-in 2 weeks from now to see how the first 2 weeks have gone?
What are the other options?
Delay it. No, you know what we can do?
We can't delay it. Because if we delay it, brother, that bitch good as gone.
So what we'll do is, we'll start tonight, and then next week we'll tweet about it and see how you're doing.
I like it. 40 days.
40 no. days. Do I have to participate in this too, or?
What are you giving it for 40 days?
There's nothing I want to give it for 40 days.
See?
I used to do Lent when I was in college. Like I would participate in Lent every year, and I did it for like 10 years. Not like I started in college, but even through adult. Like I got to do something. I ain't doing it no more.
I'm going to do it. Last year I did something similar around this time. I got messed up at a bachelor weekend in Vegas. Kind of messed it up. It was needed because a brother wasn't going to make it.
What could I give up or add to my routine for the next 40 days? I'm trying to think.
What is something this year that you want to do more of?
I really hadn't thought about it, right? I exercise as much as I want for the most part. I'm eating right. I feel great. I used to have a lot of hip pain. That has resolved itself from changing like diet and exercising more. I should, you know what I should do? I should watch my mouth. That would be a good one. I should watch my language.
Like cursing?
Yeah, like I don't know if I should take cursing completely out cold turkey, or just scale back, but how would I keep count of what I'm saying? So it should probably be cold turkey, right?
Why not? No cussing for 40 days?
Yeah, all right, that's the one. No cursing.
Are you sure? But, come on, think of another one. Everybody cusses. It's 2024.
I know, that's the point. It has to be hard, though. It has to be a challenge. It needs to be something that's difficult.
What about
that's the point?
What about sweets? You got like a sweet you could give up?
I'm never giving up sweets. That ain't never happening. So,
brother, you don't have to give it up. It's only for 40 days.
And that is crack. And I don't eat a lot. I've cut back a lot on the sweets.
I'm not smoking weed for 40 days. You can't stay off the Twinkies.
Nah, that's how my wife and I bond over sweets. Nah. Nope. Can't do that.
I ain't going to bring in the wife. You know I can't argue when you bring in the missus.
Yeah, I know. I'll think of something.
Well, mark my words, 40 days, no Mary Jane.
Danny, I believe in you.
Here's the thing. I'm going to let you know when I'm going through it, because I'm going to just text you some crying emojis or a shaking head meme.
Okay. Hey. Or But I believe in you. Know that we're rooting for you.
Honestly, the toughest part, like I was saying, is like the anxiety with all like the free time and the anxiety of knowing I'm in a few days, I'm not going to be able to sleep and my appetite's going to be a little rompy. I think once you get over that, it's... But like so many things get fixed. Not fixed. Like so many other parts of my life, I realize when I've taken like tea breaks like this, I am like... waking up going like when like waking up becomes a lot easier. I'm usually a little bit more active, a little bit more on it. I don't know, man. I'm curious.
You know what? You know what I've kind of started? I've kind of started weaning myself off caffeine. So now I drink decaf. Like even when I go get coffee, like I drink decaf usually, but sometimes I'll sneak some caffeine in there and I notice that it's getting more and more caffeine. Like I would be drinking coffee in the afternoon. I was like, man, I can't be doing this. So I have started drinking decaf. I can start keeping count on that.
What does okay? So what is the difference between decaf and caffeinated? I mean, it just means there's no so caffeine.
There are traces of caffeine in decaf. It's not completely 100% decaffeinated, but you don't feel the effects. Like as someone who drinks both, I can tell when I've had caffeine, and I can tell when I have not had caffeine.
Yeah. I get a little jittery. I'm off and on with the caffeine because like I have a coffee maker at my crib and some days I'll make coffee, but then there's some days I'll like go to Starbucks and I got like a Frappuccino with oat milk or I get one of those refreshers.
Oh, the green tea lemonade?
Nah, I get the strawberry acai lemonade.
Oh, okay. I haven't had that one.
That brush should be fire. Gas. All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're starting off this podcast with accountability, which I love. But ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 136 of Speak On It. Of course, as you already know, when you see this Nas fade, ladies and gentlemen, it could only be one brother, the good brother, Los D-Mix. Of course, as always, joined by the smoothest bald head on the East Coast, Danny Ocean. My brother, how are we doing on this Tuesday?
I am great. This is the last Tuesday before daylight savings time, so hopefully when we come back,
no wonder
the
blinds
will be open.
Yeah, no wonder it's so light and like behind me, it's lighter in your spot. So I feel like
It's going to be great. This is my favorite time of the year, so I'm going to be in a really good mood for the next 3 months.
3 months? You mean 7 months, 8 months?
Yeah, but like this is like March, April, May are like my three. Like this is my favorite stretch of the year.
I mean, hey, a brother was born in May, so I can feel you on that.
Your brother was born in April. We got March Madness, and then it's spring, and then May is like the start of Memorial Day, the start of summer. It's just a good time of year for me.
Okay, last thing on our tea break conversation before we you know dive into a little bit of NFL to start the show off. Last year when I did something similar before I went to Vegas, I found myself leaning a little bit more on the lick, the alcohol.
I was about to be like, what?
Like I found myself trying to replace the Mary Jane and finding that fix in the lick. And so I found myself at home making a lot of mixed drinks. In general, cocktails, which honestly helped me a lot during that time.
Would you be interested in making mocktails?
No. Okay. So, no, I want the real thing. So now, I guess during these 40 days, stuff like wine and stuff like that, like where do I kind of put that? Because you don't want to get over fixated with something else. Wine and stuff like that has nothing to do with my current Lent because I don't really drink like talking about like as compared to the Mary Jane. Thoughts?
Yeah. I mean, everything in moderation. That's what my mom always told me. Everything in moderation. Like on the weekends, I have a couple of glasses of red wine to help unwind and relax from the tough week. Mm-hmm. I mean, again, everything in moderation. But I will say, not to say that you're an addict, but most people replace addiction with another addiction. So if you start to get drinking all the wine, that could be an issue.
Mm-hmm. So you got
not to say that you're addicted.
No, you're right. No, because what you're saying is basically what I'm trying to avoid. So I'm like, all right, well, yeah, you got to keep some things in moderation. Lent, ladies and gentlemen, today is day one of 40. We will see you. Hold on. Where's the calendar?
Yeah, 40 days.
Can we make it to
April 15th?
Huh?
That'd be 40 days would be April 15th, right?
7, 14, 21, 28, 35, 36, 37, 38, 39, 40. Maybe April 14th.
Okay, so that was close.
Yeah, April 14th. Of course, I come in here like so the week after tax day. Okay.
Okay. Well, yeah. If there's any time to light one up, it's after filing your tax, especially in my house.
You know what I feel like? You know, I think what my ultimate goal will be when this is all said and done, and then we can get to the NFL, is to get to a place where it's like a Friday, Saturday, Sunday after cleaning up the house sort of vibe.
Oh, yeah. Like a way to unwind and start the week and end the week, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, and then like during the week, that's when I kind of want to lean more into like, hey, maybe having a casual glass of wine, kind of stuff like that.
We'll see. I like that. That's a good way.
Yeah. Hey, brother's trying, you know.
And that's all. Listen,
ladies and gentlemen, we got a lot to talk about today. We're going to start off in the NFL. Danny, there's a lot of news coming out of the league, coming out of the NFL scouting combine last week. So I feel like we'll be talking a lot of NFL. Let's start with some news around the league. I think first and foremost, before we kind of begin this show, I think we should obviously send our condolences and rest in peace to the family of Chris Mortensen, who passed away over the weekend, and Virgil, WWE legend and icon, who also passed away over the weekend. So just rest in peace to both of them. Our thoughts and prayers are with their families during this time. Now,
1,000%.
Now, getting into the NFL, Danny, let's start in Denver. So the Broncos cut Russell Wilson, and they plan to take on around $85 million in dead cap space. And if you didn't know, this is by far the most in NFL history, aka no team has ever said, yo, we just going to throw 85 mil away and be okay with it before the Denver Broncos. So, Danny, first off, your overall thoughts, and did the world see this coming based off of last season with Russell Wilson and the Broncos?
I'll add another point to that. The two highest dead cap hits in NFL history before this, if you combine them, it's still not 85
million. Who are
they? It's Carson Wentz with the Eagles. And I forgot the other one. But those two, Carson's cap hit and the other dead cap hit, aren't surpassing 85 million. That just let you know how much they hate this guy. For me, when you saw Sean Payton like holler at him on the sideline, I think everyone remembers that clip. Like Sean Payton just like legit walks over there and screams in his face in a way that you don't see other coaches talk to quarterbacks they plan on working with long term. I forgot what game it was. It might have been the Raiders game, one of the Raiders games. And I was like, ooh, you don't talk to people like that if you want to work with them long term. So I got on my knees last night and I said, Lord, I hope someone hates me enough to pay me $85 million to walk away and leave them alone forever. I don't know
if that would be it would be incredible, would it not?
Ooh, buddy. It would be great. But I would say if we're being objective, his play last year, it was bad, but it wasn't bad enough to get released like this. Like Desmond Ridder still has a job, which is crazy, and Russell Wilson does not. I mean, he does, but he doesn't. Like Desmond Ridder still has a roster spot.
True.
And Russell Wilson does not. And Aiden O'Connell still has a roster spot. Like their quarterbacks are way worse than Russell Wilson, who will be employed next year and potentially start. This just feels like Sean Payton like giving him the middle finger. Like, I didn't want you, get out of here. Which is fine. Pay me $85 million to walk away.
I think this is Sean Payton saying loudly and clearly, ladies and gentlemen, I want everyone to know that me and my GM, we didn't hire this quarterback. We didn't this has nothing to do with us. We got to separate ourselves from this previous regime. It was a fucking mess. And I think that's how they came to this conclusion. I feel like I think one thing that someone told me that I thought was I thought about it and I was like, duh, they would do that. Do you remember who owns the new ownership of the Denver Broncos?
Oh, yeah, they do have an ownership. Who is it?
The Walton family. The family owns Walmart.
So oh, I yeah.
You know, like I think about that and I was like, oh, well, yeah, they got $85 million there.
Easy. And they don't believe in overpaying for black people's services. So, yeah, 100%.
Oh, most definitely. It matter all makes fact, sense. They was like, oh, we going to pay. I mean, we got them. We got them. Listen, here's what I would say, Russ. Last year with Nathaniel Hackett, I knew it was bad, but I didn't think it could get any worse. And I was right, because this year he came back. And while the Broncos weren't world beaters, they weren't the worst of the worst. Like, if you were playing the Broncos, you were getting a game. Like, it just wasn't going to be a walk in the park. But I think it was very just kind of evident by the lack of public support, public backing of Russ, that I kind of figured that something wasn't right. And I'll tell you what, it makes you wonder what Pete Carroll was really seeing in Seattle, because he just kind of knew. And which kind of brings me to this next point. Danny, was he right? Do you think he was right?
It seems like it. Russell Wilson was on a Hall of Fame trajectory, and then it kind of go down. And Pete was like, "Nah, I'm good. Give me Geno Smith." And the Broncos were crazy enough to give up the farm. And Pete said, "Hey, this was an easy decision.
Biggest fleece in NFL history." Some are saying now.
Biggest fleece in NFL history. I don't think we'll get the full story now. I think once Russ retires, maybe we'll get the full story of what happened in Seattle. Pete Carroll's gone. He's gone to he's in front office now. I just want to know what happened in Seattle that led to this. Because once upon a time, Pete Carroll was Russell's biggest defender, especially in that Super Bowl where they threw it instead of ran it. I just want to know what happened. Like, he looks like, I'm sure he's in Seattle like, yep, glad that's not us. I'm glad we have Geno Smith.
Glad the train wreck didn't end with us. Like, I'm glad we got out of there, and now we got young talent. We got a more quarterback-friendly contract on the books. We got a quarterback that we maybe feel a little bit more confident in Geno. Yep. Listen, I think one of the things I've heard about Russ in his career is that, you know, there was a reason why he never received a single MVP vote, even though every year and year in and year out, he was always in that MVP talk for about 6 to 7 weeks. You start hearing that he's a lot better when he's surrounded with a run game and a defense, because when you have to put it on him, he ain't all that. You know, you start hearing some things like that, and you're just like, where are y'all getting these narratives from? Because he's out there and he's cooking. And then they let Russ cook one season, and it wasn't their best season. And then you kind of look, and they go back, they go draft Kenneth Walker, right? They go get Geno Smith. They go draft some rookie defensive backs. Now they got the youngest one of the youngest defensive back rooms in the league, but it's also one of the best defensive back rooms in the league. And so you're seeing that. Clearly, what Seattle chose to do in terms of moving on from Russell Wilson, clearly they saw something that we didn't. And to your point, I'm very curious to know, what were they seeing on a day-to-day basis, both from Russ and Geno, to make them say, we want to go with Russ, goodbye. I mean, we want to go with Geno, goodbye.
It's fascinating. Like I said, I just hope one day we get the real story of what happened in Seattle.
Now, I got a question for you. What happens next year when Sean Payton is asked about this, and he kind of, in a way, he indirectly but directly says, yo, Russ sucks?
Oh, it's going to be great. It's going to be real spicy. I'm trying to figure out, do we get it at the owners meeting in a couple of weeks? Do we get it training camp? We have to see where Russ signs, because if Russ signs for a team that plays the Broncos, that week's going to be interesting, because he's going to get that question over and over, and he's going to get fed up, because Sean Payton,
he got a little bit of a temper. He's spicy.
He got a little bit of, he can get real spicy. I mean, he got spicy with Nathaniel Hackett last year and ended up losing to the Jets, if my memory serves me correctly. But like, I hope Russ signs to a team that plays the Broncos. Then we'd get the truth, because I feel like at the owners meeting in a couple of weeks, he might give us something, but he's going to be very let them play Russ, you know, let Russ join a team that plays it. Let him be a Raider. Like, let him join the Raiders and play Denver twice. Huh?
He's in the division.
Yes, yeah, so I'm just saying, like, let him join a team that we know plays the Broncos next year. And I think you're going to get a different side of Sean Payton the week of the game.
And they can't really trade him because they've already kind of came out and said they're going to release him.
Yeah, they're going to release him. But I'm just, I pray.
So if he signs with someone else, then what happens to that dead cap money? They still owe that to him or no?
I mean, they should. So the Broncos owe him that 85. That doesn't change. So in theory, Russ can go to a team and be like, yo, I'll take the vet minimum just so I can count against the salary cap because I'm getting $50 million this year from Denver, and then next year he's going to get the other 35. So if you're a team, you know, and you think you can win with Russ and he's down for it, you know, hey, man, take the vet minimum. We can put a roster around you. Like, if you're Washington, it's something to consider, it, especially with the number two overall pick. And maybe you said to yourself, man, we can definitely scary Terry and Marvin Harrison Jr. sound real good together. Let's get Russell Wilson. We got all this cap money. Like, screw it. Let's just throw something at the wall. It's the NFC and see what happens. I mean, I wouldn't be opposed to that. I think it's a stupid and lack of resources, but that's the most commander thing you can do.
Oh, man, let me tell you something. The Commanders did that. I can tell you at least 1 to 3 people will be fired in about a year and a half, 2 years.
Like, I would get the logic to it, though.
I think Danny's being a little bit too kind. Russ, pack it up. Become a family man. You stink. It's over. It's over.
He's not Vince top Carter, tier.
Slam dunk contest. It's over.
He's in that 15 to 20 enough, range. Russ.
Use a two-pack of ass. It's over.
I don't think he heard you say it again.
It's over. You a two-pack of ass. It's over. We sick of the fucking Hail Mary balls that get overthrown by 15 yards. We're sick of the crazy-ass interceptions where it's like, who the fuck were you throwing at? We're just sick of it. It's over, Russ. We sick of it. A lot of people been sick of you since you throwing that interception in the soup. It's over. Get up out of here. Become an analyst. Help Sierra figure out her 1-2 step again. It's over. It's over, Russ. It's over. Wherever you sign to next year, guarantee below 500. Guarantee below 500. D. Mixtradamus stamped it.
I promise you.
Now, if you want to crown him, then crown their ass. But Russell Wilson is exactly who the fuck we thought he was.
Let me tell you something. Sierra don't want his horny ass in the house all year round. Baby, please go get a job.
Russell Wilson, that CTE in the house would be like, Broncos Nation, let's ride. Ride your ass to the station, brother, because your ride is gone. It's over. It's over.
I don't think he's that bad. I think he's in the 15 to 22 range in regards to quarterbacks in the league.
Russ,
he's good enough to start.
One quarterbacks who need to take their ass home. Listen, Russ, join the retirement couch with Jason Kelce. It's over. It's over.
He earned Speaking the right to sit on that sofa.
Danny, Jason Kelce, Eagle great, Super Bowl champion, one of 15 to 20 best centers ever in history. Undeniable all pro. Cleveland's owned. I know you see it in the background. Cleveland's owned. Jason Kelce retired after 13 seasons with the Eagles. Danny, as our resident Eagles fan, I'm an ISO. You got this. Let the people know who the football world is losing with this retirement.
Can I be honest? I haven't watched his retirement press conference yet because I don't want to cry. Jason Kelce, Brian Dawkins, and Reggie White, the three greatest Eagles ever. Like, that's it. Like, hell of a career.
I'm sorry. Say them three again.
Reggie White, Brian Dawkins, Jason Kelce, three greatest Eagles ever.
I'm hating if I say anything. Go ahead. It's an isolated.
No, who else you got? Who else you want to throw in there?
Donovan McNabb ain't make that list. The same Kirk QB you was telling me is one of them ones. He ain't make that list.
He on the next tier. We're talking about all time.
Get out of here, Brian. Listen, Donovan McNabb on the all time Philly scam list.
See, that's hate. That's hate. You turn something beautiful and turn into hate. But for anyone who follows the Eagles, the night after they lost to the Bucks, Jordan Mailata said something extremely interesting. He pretty much was like, yeah, he out of here. Like, I know Jason told Adam Schefter. He didn't tell Schefter. Schefter found out that he told the team he was retiring, and he told Schefter to do what he had to do. And Jason was like, oh, I'm thinking about it. But if you listen to Jordan Mailata after the game, like, same with Fletcher Cox, right? If you listen to Jordan Davis while the Eagles were cleaning out their lockers a couple of days later, or, you know, the exit interviews. Yeah, man. Like, Fletcher Cox is gone too. Like, he's next.
Jordan. What's some of the sentiment? I'm not understanding, because I don't, like, talk to us people who
don't. Yeah, so Jordan Mailata pretty much was talking like he knew that, like, Jason had told him he was gone. Like, the team kind of felt that that was Jason's last game. Like Jordan plays left tackle for the Eagles, and just the way he was talking, the things he was saying.
What was he saying? Like, what was he like?
I mean, I don't remember verbatim. I just remember hearing and reading those quotes and like, oh yeah, Jason's gone. Like, sometimes, like, the past couple of years, Jason has left the door open. Like, I'll think about it. But his teammates were talking in definitives, like, after, like, yeah, Jason's been great. All-time great Eagle. It's been a pleasure playing with him. I learned a lot from him. Like, they knew. I think the team knew. At the combine, Howie Roseman went to the – he spoke to the press, and Howie's the Eagles GM, and he was kind of talking like, oh, you know, I don't want Jason to play anywhere else but an Eagles jersey. I mean, you knew Jason was going to retire. Jason probably told you a week ago. Like, this isn't a surprise. How about that? And
so let me ask you something. Yep. And this is me being a messy bitch.
Okay.
What we do in 2026 when Jason Kelce come out of retirement to play for the Chiefs with his brother during his brother's last year with the Chiefs?
Oh, that'd be hilarious. I wouldn't even be mad. I wouldn't even be mad. That'd be hilarious. Seriously. I wouldn't be upset. That'd be funny.
For me, you might be one of the three Eagles fans in America who wouldn't be salty about that.
I mean, he's going over to the AFC. The only time you'd play the Chiefs is in the Super Bowl. I don't care, man. If you want to go play with your brother, as much as he's done for the city and for the organization, whatever, man. Like, if you want to go play a year with your brother just to say you did it, man, go do that.
Okay, so what if Jerry Jones say, yo, Jason, I got a bag?
Yo, fuck Jerry Jones. Jason know better than that.
So Andy Reid and them potentially winning another Super Bowl. It's, go ahead. But Dallas, not
division rival? Up. Nah, he know better than that.
But Jason know the bag.
I mean, the Eagles made him the highest paid center last year. It's not like the Eagles not going to spend money. If Jason wanted to play, he'd be the highest paid center again.
Jerry said he going to make him the highest paid offensive lineman in NFL history. Don't even worry
about it. If that's the case, I can't hate on that. If Jerry if Jerry won't pay you the most money any offensive lineman has ever made,
I'm looking at Jerry like, fuck it, all right. I got one more in me. I got
another year. Hold on, who's the highest paid offensive lineman right now?
That's funny.
Let's see. That's funny. Laramie Tunzel makes $25 million a season. So if Jerry came and was like, Jason, I'll give you 34 season, A-Dog, who am I?
You know, speaking of which, the Kelce brothers are at this game over my left shoulder, Celtics at Cavs. Yeah, I think it's like a Kelce night or something.
Cool. Yeah, Kyle, that would really piss. Yeah, Kyle said that would piss Zach Martin off. It 100% would.
Oh yeah,
they've been.
Zach Martin been fighting for his money for years.
Zach Martin might punch Jerry. That might be the end of Jerry. But no, Jason, all time great Eagle. Hope he enjoys retirement. I mean, he's been working for life after football for years. He did. Remember they used to do media training for athletes? Like, you go to NFL studios and they do mock shows. Like, it was like a crash course. He did that. He has his podcast.
Like, so he'll be working in media soon.
Yeah.
Speaking of great players who chose not to retire, Mike Evans staying in Tampa on a new contract. 2-year extension, $52 million in total. What are your thoughts there for Mike Evans and the Bucs?
Mike Evans said he wanted to go a team that did not have a rookie quarterback and had a chance to win a Super Bowl. And the lie detector test determined that was a lie.
He said he wanted to go to a team that had a rookie quarterback?
No. So during a couple of weeks, a couple of days ago, Adam Schefter tweeted that Mike Evans wanted to play for a Super Bowl contending team and he was not interested in playing with a rookie quarterback.
Okay. What's...
You think Baker's a free agent?
Brother, you don't think they signed Mike Evans? You don't think the Bucs re-signed Mike Evans in thoughts of kind of knowing that they were going to also re-sign Baker Mayfield?
But he said he wanted to be on a Super Bowl team. You think the Bucs are winning the Super Bowl?
Brother, they... Listen, this is how I think about it. When it comes to Super Bowl contending, I think that means team that's good enough to make the playoffs, which the Bucs were because the Bucs won the NFC South. So if your question,
they won a playoff game,
but they won the NFC South and then stumped all over the Birds.
Yeah, so I'm saying they won a playoff game.
So they probably could have won the second one had they played a little bit better in the second half. So I guess what Mike Evans is thinking is like, okay, this team's not bad. We've won the NFC South 3 years in a row, including without Tom Brady. So if we can win without Tom Brady with Baker Mayfield and the way this team's constructed and the way we were playing, I don't see, like, look at the rest of the NFC and the field.
Yeah.
I think Tampa, it makes sense. They love him there. I think he probably wanted to stay in Florida, so his only other option maybe potentially would have been the Jags. And do you really want to do that? Nah, just stay in Tampa.
Nah, the Jags are having a very interesting offseason.
Yeah. Speaking of the Jaguars, they actually did some of the funniest shit I've seen in a while. So yesterday, the Jags tweeted out, "Happy birthday, 94. And 94 is, let me make sure I'm pronouncing his name right, Folorunsu Fatukasi.
Right. Good job.
Thank you. So they tweeted out, "Happy birthday, 94. And then several hours later, they released him. So I'm not going to laugh at a man losing his job because that's not funny. And I hope Folorunsu Fatukasi gets a job very soon. But Danny, I want to ask you a question. Is this equivalent to getting fired on your day off like what happened in Friday? Or can you give me the better movie equivalent?
No, it's even worse. Getting fired on your birthday? And that tells me that was a scheduled tweet from the social team. And granted, the social team in the front office probably do not communicate. They're probably nowhere near each other in the building. So how would the social team know that he's about to get released a couple hours later? I'm sure that happens across the league. Front offices don't care about the social team. But dog, man, getting fired on your birthday. Like, what time did the tweet go out? What time did it go out?
Probably like 10, 11 a.m.
You eating. 12 p.m. You know what I'm saying? You waking up, you got your birthday plans for the day. Hey, we about to go to dinner.
You keeping it PC. I'm about to turn this bitch up real quick.
Yeah, you know, I want. And then all of a sudden your day ruined. So let me ask you a question. You get fired on your day off on your birthday. Do you go up and turn up even harder? Or do you just say, screw it, I gotta save my money. I don't know what's next.
If I get fired on my birthday, I'm whooping somebody's ass.
Oh, so you're violence.
No. I'm not violent, but somebody getting their ass whooped. Motherfucker, you couldn't wait a day. Come here.
So you're going to jail. That's what it's. Oh, you decided to go to jail.
Jail.
You going in like Ice Cube with the baseball bat and breaking tables?
Yeah. Here's my thing. All right, I can say this. Listen, I think some of you people who be firing people, I think if, how do I say this?
You can just say it. It's a safe space.
Some of y'all who be firing people, y'all best be lucky that some of the people you firing is kind of pussy.
Whoa, didn't see that one coming.
That's what I can say. Y'all better be lucky. Because if y'all was firing, listen, I want to shout out to all the people out here who be having to lay off some crazy ass people because I guarantee you be scared as hell sitting in that.
Oh, room. So what you do is no. So if you fire someone, that you think might go off the rails, you do it in a room that's surrounded by glass so other people are watching. And then okay. security can be somewhere flanked.
Danny, what? You yeah. What security mean to a motherfucker who crazy and mad that you taking away their source of income? You better hope security get in that damn room before the other person reach across that table.
And this is why HR fires people and not supervisors.
Can I say I think that's worse?
Really?
Yes.
I think it's more official if it comes from HR. No.
That's the HR and you talking. Here's the non-HR and me talking. Okay, so you telling me you firing me and you're giving these reasons that I can tell that you don't really probably even know the full story of why I'm being, you are just delivering the news. So you don't know the full backstory. So I'm going to ask you a few questions to get some clarity on maybe why. And once I start piecing together some of these answers you got, okay, cool.
Trust me.
So now what you done is, clearly I'm not going to get mad at you. You have nothing to do with this. Cool, I'm going to walk out. I best leave where I'm going to go when I walk out.
Trust me. Yeah. If you are getting fired, you will be escorted out.
Okay. Oh, well, pray for that security.
Pray. You will be. And trust me, if HR is firing you, they know exactly why you're getting fired. They just don't walk in blind.
Okay.
Oh, well, Brian said it happened on a Friday afternoon. Okay, I'm with you. Somebody got fighting. Now we fighting. No, sir.
You're not making it to your car.
Sir, he has worked out all week in the facility. That's the worst, man. You don't put in a week's worth of work.
You better have AAA number on speed dial because you're not driving that motherfucking vehicle of yours back home.
Okay, you playing car bombs? All right. You've been watching Boardwalk Empire.
Listen. I'm not crazy.
But you crazy?
But don't push me. All right, let's get back into more football specific stuff. So the Chiefs placed the non-exclusive franchise tag on corner Legarius Sneed, but sources are saying a trade is definitely possible, which also kind of leaves it up in the air for the return of defensive lineman Chris Jones, because the Chiefs were trying to bring back both Chris Jones and Legarius Sneed back for their Super Bowl winning defense en route of trying to defend, you know, back-to-back Super Bowl titles. So, Danny, let's just assume that the Chiefs lose both Chris Jones and Legarius Sneed.
Yep.
What are your thoughts on the Chiefs' three-peat if they lose their two top defensive players?
You have to make a major investment then back on the offensive side of the ball, because the defense was what drove the Chiefs this year. Like, they had one of the best defenses in the league, and Chris Jones is the best defensive tackle in football. Legarius Sneed is a top five corner. So if you keep one of them, I would prefer to keep Chris Jones over Legarius Sneed. I'd rather have the best defensive tackle in football than the fifth to seventh best corner, especially when Trippin Duffy is on the other side. But if you lose both, then you need to take that money and invest heavily on the offensive side of the ball, and you're going to have to win the Super Bowl the way you won, like, Patrick's first. Like, we're just going to score 1,000 points. If you lose both and you don't make a major investment, and when I say major investment, I mean a legit wide receiver one, and you could probably sign two, because you got Rashid Rice, but I'm talking about Davante Adams. I'm talking about an absolute studded receiver, and you're going to have to go score 1,000 points. Like, I'm talking Saquon Barkley, trade for Davante Adams or Stephon Diggs, and just say, Patrick, do it.
I think if the Chiefs go in the route of losing both Legarius Sneed and or Chris Jones, I think, in my opinion, it's because they are about to take a lot of draft capital and move up for either one of the better wide receivers in the class, or potentially a premium defensive position. Like, it wouldn't surprise me if they traded up for, let's just say, a Brian Thomas or Yeah, maybe like a Brian Thomas, for example. It wouldn't trade me if they it wouldn't surprise me if they trade up for someone like that. But at the same time, it also wouldn't surprise me if in this class that's filled with premium positions like QB, wide receiver, corner, and offensive lineman, it wouldn't surprise me if they trade up just to reinvest in another corner to replace Legarius Sneed, and they figure out a way to re-sign Chris Jones. I think, to your point, if you're going to lose two of your two best defenders, you'd rather lose the corner who's in the rankings of top five to top seven versus arguably the best interior lineman, defensive lineman in football that single-handedly won you at least two playoff games himself just by time.
I mean, he won the Super Bowl. He won that play, that Brock Purdy, when the Niners were drafting. Like, that was all Chris Jones. He came in unblocked. I know the 49ers blame the offensive lineman, but no, that's Chris Jones. Like, Chris Jones is that guy. Like, he changed the course of the Super Bowl.
Yeah, so I think if they go that route, I think trading up for like a Brian Thomas, flipping the script on the offense would be a good one. Really get younger, but at the same time, they are trying to save some cap space. They released Marquez Valdes-Scantling a couple days ago, so they got some money to play with. I'm curious. Let me ask you something. If you're a Legarius Sneed, knowing you probably got a couple more years in the league, not a couple, you probably got.
Yeah, but five. I think he's 27.
Yeah, 3 to 5 more years in the league left. Do you consider taking a margin a little bit of less money this year because you know, let's just say that the three-peat doesn't happen and you decide for sure to become a free agent after this year, no matter if you guys three-peat or not, you can make your money for sure next offseason.
You think so? Because this is his last chance or his last big contract, like 27 for corners. Like, that's it, right? Like, so it'll probably be in his mind, if I'm his agent, hey, we can get you a 3-year deal and make more money over the 3 years compared to next year you're a free agent and a 2-year deal or a 3-year deal. I feel like right now his value is as high as it's going to get. So if I'm him, like, I've won back-to-back Super Bowls. Like, he has the rings. And I know championships are important, right? But I think he's in a place where if he wants to focus on the money, he can go to a good team who has money. Like, he can get his money and still play for a team that's in championship contention.
I would, but like the I don't know. I guess I could see it, but like, listen. I think that when you're a part of a winning culture and you go elsewhere, Mecole said it best. Some of these other. Yeah. Free football franchises, they don't know what winning is. They don't know what winning looks like because they're not necessarily winning franchises, winning cultures. So you get there, yeah, you got the money, but now you're dealing with some bullshit. Is it worth it? Ask yourself that.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think a Houston can be like, Houston's on the rise. I know you might get annoyed, but Philadelphia could use a corner, and the Eagles have cap space. Like, there are a couple of teams where you can still compete at a high level and make your money. Because yeah. the Chiefs are doing all this to restructure Patrick's contract, because Patrick's now like the fifth or seventh highest paid quarterback, and we know that can't stand. Like, he need to get, it's time for him to re-up. So that's all this is, so Patrick can re-up.
You think so?
Yeah, Justin Herbert got his money. Burrow got his money. Jalen got like his money.
Patty is at a point now where – I think Patty is at that part in Brady's career after they won it, you know, a few times, where he's like, okay, how many of these can I really win before this team as a whole? Like, how many of these things can I win before this situation changes and it's a little bit harder to achieve? Like, I think in Patty's mind, it's, yo, I got Andy here. I got Andy here, and with me and Andy here, I know the likelihood of us being in contention to win a championship is exponentially high. Andy clearly doesn't have as many years in the league as I do, I being Patrick Mahomes. Mm-hmm. I think Patrick's in his space is where, like, okay, how can we make the team as best we can, given Andy's maybe last year or two? before the money really comes into play. Patrick's going to get his money. Plus, Patrick's already made his money. So all these, and this is my opinion, all these guys that are making X, Y, and Z, yeah, you got to make X, Y, and Z because your ass can't beat me. You can't do nothing. So your claim to fame is now I want X, Y, and Z because I can do, I can maybe lead us to X, Y, and Z in hopes that they could potentially beat Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes looking at it is like, yo, I just want to keep winning. I got my money. My money's going to be here. Y'all want to get paid more so you can help you feel good at night when you can't beat me.
I'll say, I know we talk about Brady. So remember, Brady had that TB12 stuff that partnered with the Patriots. So yeah, Brady took these contract hits, but he was still making his money through that TB12 program that the Patriots, you know, adopted. I think for Patrick, it's principle. If you're the Chiefs, it's principle. Like, we have the best quarterback in the world. We want to make sure that he knows that we know that he's the best quarterback in the world. Even if the money is funny, right? Even if it's dummy money or whatever, like, Patrick deserves to average. His annual salary needs to be the highest in the league.
I can see that. I see, like, the optics of it. You want him to be the highest quarterback. But what, like, if he is adamant that, yo, I got the bread. Let's build a team. Like, let's get the team because I want to keep winning.
That's another story, but you need to hear him say that, right? Like, there's no, like, why is LeBron still signing max contracts? He's LeBron James. He's the best, you know, he's not the best player in the league anymore, but he's top five, right? Like, LeBron don't need no money, I'm LeBron.
I think that's different, though, because basketball and football, basketball money is all guaranteed. Football money maybe isn't. I would say the only difference there being is that LeBron has a little bit more impact on both the offensive and defensive side of the ball. Plus, with LeBron, how do I say this? With more impact on the defensive and offensive side of the ball, I would say LeBron, year in and year out, you just know that you could write him a blank check with no numbers on it. You're going to make that money back.
And you can't say the same about Patrick? Here's what I say about Patrick.
I think you can make that money back, but I think it's just different in terms of sports. Like, you,
here's why Patrick deserves the most money.
I don't want to make it seem like I don't think Patrick should be the highest paid. Like, I think he should, but I'm just here presenting the argument that maybe, what if Patrick himself says, yo, I'm making great money. I'm going to continue to make great money. My wife is also part owner of a fucking MLS soccer team. We got bread over here. I want to keep winning chips so then I could be on some Andrew Luck shit and say, I'm out of here.
Well, that's if Patrick says that, then cool. But if he doesn't say that, you can't move and assume if, like, that's the way he's thinking. Reason why Patrick deserves all that money is because every Sunday you're doing everything in your power to make sure he does not get the ball last. Like, you know, in the back of your mind, like, that's the greatest thing you can say about Patrick. We always have a chance. It doesn't matter. He's down double digits in each Super Bowl. It doesn't matter. I'll come back and win because he's Patrick Mahomes. Right? The fear he puts in other teams' heart, the way teams act out of character because it's Patrick Mahomes on the other side. Like, that's what happened to the Ravens. Like, the Ravens are the best team in football. Patrick Mahomes on the other side. Lamar forgets how to run. Right? Like, that's his mystique, his aura. It's worth every penny.
Okay. Fair enough. Recently, last thing before we get into some NFL combine stuff. So recently on First Take, funny enough, Shannon Sharpe and Stephen A got pretty animated when Dan Orlovsky kind of basically was talking about the Cowboys and their culture. And Dan said that the Cowboys have a winning culture, not a championship culture, a winning culture. And he based this a lot off of their back-to-back-to-back seasons with 12 wins and how, you know, yes, they don't necessarily have the postseason success as like a Chiefs or 49ers, but they have developed a culture of winning football games. Stephen A. and Shannon Sharpe could not believe it. They basically called Dan Orlovsky crazy, a crackhead, and told him to get off that shit. Danny, what are your thoughts?
So first let me say, semantics. This is all semantics, but I think I understand where Dan is coming from, and I agree. Like, no matter how much we hate the Cowboys, and I do, they find a way to win 12 games every single year, no matter what happens in the playoff. there are teams that will kill for that. The Bears would kill for to win double digit games every year. The Falcons would kill. Like there are a ton of teams in the league who would switch spots with Dallas in a heartbeat. So again, this is semantics, but every time I think of the Cowboys in regards, they kind of just the Vikings are the great value brand of the Cowboys, because you can say the same thing about the Vikings, right? Like the Vikings have the seasons, they win all these games, and then come playoff time, we know what time it is. So, like I said, teams would switch places with Dallas in a heartbeat and lose in the first round of the playoffs. Who cares? But yeah, like when we're talking about when the rubber meets the road and it's time to go win like games that really matter, I mean, we know who they are. We know what they're about. So
listen, Stephen A, Shannon, y'all had, I agree with y'all on there not being a championship culture in Dallas. Here's where I disagree. How do you sell dreams and aspirations of a Cowboys championship if you don't have a culture of winning? Think about that. How do you get people year in and year out to throw on that Cowboys jersey with them jean shorts and them Flint 13s with no socks on?
No socks.
Year in, year out. Talking about this our year, Holmes. This our year to win it all, Holmes. No, we about to win it all, Holmes. Cowboys, Super Bowl champs, Holmes. How you get that every year, year in and year out, if you don't have a culture of winning? Yes, you don't have a championship culture, so yes, you may not know what it's like to win, but neither did the Nuggets. Neither did the Denver Nuggets. And now, as a Lakers fan, I'm going to be honest with you, I would rather play 29 other teams before I play the Nuggets in a seven-game series. I'm done playing the Nuggets. And I just feel like, you ask the Washington Commanders how they feel about playing Dallas twice a year. They're 100%. Upset. Ask the New York Giants how it feels to play the Dallas Cowboys twice a year. They're upset. Ask the Minnesota Vikings what it's like anytime they see Dallas on their schedule, year in and year out. The Eagles, they know it's going to be, it's going to be a game. 60 minutes, we don't have to play for them.
Or ask Commanders and Giants, or even the Panthers, as Cal said, ask them, hey, dog, for the next 3 years, you'll win 12 games every year, make the playoffs, and lose in the first round. You in? And they would say, hell yeah, we're in. Sign me up. Let's do this.
Kyle in the comments said that Dave Tepper would fire 95 coaches in order to switch spots with the Cowboys. I agree. Listen, a lot of y'all out here think that NFL teams – how do I say this? A lot of y'all think the franchise's main goal is to win championships. That's not true. The team's goal is to win championships. The franchise's goal is to put asses in seats and generate revenue, because this is a business.
They're here to make
this money. This is a business. So if you're a Chiefs fan, yes, year in and year out, you're contending for championships because that's what the team wants to do. The team that has to put out a product on the field that is championship material. But go above the team. Think about the owner, the Hunt family, the ground, all them people. They care about the Chiefs and winning money. Let me tell y'all something. The Chiefs as a team don't fuck with their owner. This is not BS. The Chiefs as a team don't fuck with their owner.
No,
but
they
guess
don't.
What? The owner signs checks, and he gets everybody paid. So, yeah, you could hate me, but guess what? I'm the reason why you're making 15 to 20 mil a year, and I got to sign off on it. If I don't sign off on it, fuck out of here. We'll get a scrub to come do your job.
Every time I say the
B-word, so then when you think about that, now think about having an owner like Jerry Jones that it wants to win so badly, he will pay premium positions, premium prices when he has a reason to. Dak Prescott is going to get his money, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, he is.
CeeDee Lamb is going to get his money, ladies and gentlemen. Michael Parsons is going to get his money, ladies and gentlemen. You know why? Because when it comes to winning championships, Jerry has felt a little bit before. He wants to feel it again because that's what the team wants to do. But the franchise, the Cowboys, Jerry Jones knows he's in heaven, because for the rest of his life until the day he goes to the pearly gates of wherever he's going, The Dallas Cowboys is going to sell themselves. That's why the only thing Jerry wants to do is win a championship.
Yep.
He prints money. Now, ask Shad Khan down in Jacksonville what it's like to try to sell some Jacksonville Jaguars tickets. It's tough when the team's not good.
This isn't Rocky no argument for me. No argument for me.
The Cowboys have a history, a culture of winning, yes. But winning culture, championship culture are different things. The Warriors, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, and Steph Curry refuse to leave each other because they have a championship culture, a championship and winning culture that they have built. But guess what? In that championship culture, Klay Thompson knew that in order for us to win a championship, yo, I got to sit my light-skinned ass on the bench because I'm just not number 11 that I was back in 2016 when I was giving people 37 and a quarter.
Off eight dribbles.
Off of eight dribbles. And that's okay. That's okay. Dan, let's get into a little bit of the combine. We'll be quick through this. First and foremost, get your thoughts on a few particular things before I get into the overall overall prospects. Start with the QBs. Do you think it helped or hurted the quarterbacks who chose not to throw at the combine?
I don't think it did. Like Caleb said, watch the tape. And he right. There's nothing Caleb Williams can do at the combine, at a pro day, that's going to change your mind that he's QB1. I don't care. I will say Joe Milton had the best throw at any combine. Did you see the throw? It was like a 60-yard bomb, and he hit the finger gun before dude caught it. Hey, dog, you cold. That's a cold piece. Draft him after Caleb.
Go ahead, draft Joe Milton right after Caleb off of that throw. You will have the black Zach Wilson. I can tell you, I'm not rooting for Joe Milton in February.
That's fair. That's fair. I just like that was the coldest. That's the coldest thing I've ever seen.
It's like the one Joe Burrow throw when he like throws it, turns around.
Yeah, against the Bills. Yeah. Okay.
I mean, look, I think. If you were a QB, listen, if you were a QB who felt you didn't need to throw, that means that you feel like your draft stock is where it is and it does the talking. So the Caleb Williams of the world, cool. Drake Mays of the world, cool. Jaden Daniels of the world, cool. Here's my thing. If you're a QB like the QB from Notre Dame, what's his name? Jamie Hartman?
Yeah.
Sam Hartman's his name. No, you got to throw, big boy. We got to see you throw. Sorry. Yeah. We got to see you throw. Sorry. Don't think you're too good for it. And some of y'all that aren't Caleb Williams or Drake May or Jaden Daniels, you should be begging to throw. You should be begging because I'm going to tell you right now, if you're not a Jaden Daniels or Drake May or Caleb Williams, you need to be praying that a team that's either mediocre or has suspect QB play or that is good now but with an older QB, you better hope that one of them draft you. So that way you're drafted to a better position. Because with Jaden Daniels and Drake May and Caleb Williams about to go to is what a lot of us will call football hell. I guarantee you, of those three, only one will be successful. I'm going to let y'all pick which one it will be. The other two, spicy. One of them probably will only start for this season and will never start again. The other one will be a fringe starter for about 2 years before he's booted out of the league. Only one of these three quarterbacks between Drake May, Caleb Williams, and Jaden Daniels will end up being franchise. I'm going to let y'all determine what franchise QB play looks like. It could be Trevor Lawrence. It could be Patrick Mahomes. You decide.
That's a spicy meatball.
Listen, pause. Got to keep it a bean. Listen, it's the hardest position in sports to evaluate. And it's also the hardest position in football to get right. That's why a lot of y'all's front offices, you've probably cycled a few GMs because it's hard to find your franchise quarterback. Duh.
Yeah.
Let me ask you about J.J. McCarthy. I've been hearing a lot of interesting draft analysis on J.J. McCarthy. He's becoming more and more of an interesting prospect, probably by the day. I think a lot of analysts before the combine were saying he might have top 10 potential. I'm hearing a lot of more analysts say this guy will not make it out of the top 10. Coming out of the combine, though, I'm hearing that some analysts are saying they may have more questions than answers on JJ McCarthy. Danny, let me ask you something. What are your thoughts on JJ McCarthy as a prospect? And if you were any of the 32 teams across the NFL right now, who would you be maybe assuming might be interested in drafting JJ?
I'm gonna keep this real simple. My answer is gonna tell you everything. New York Giants, go ahead and draft JJ in the top 10. Go ahead, do it. You know you want to draft him.
Why do you want poverty for the Giants? Giants, stop doing that. You got draft a JJ him. McCarthy on your team. His name is Daniel Jones.
Draft. See, do you think about him the same way I do? Go ahead, New York, draft him.
Stop it.
Listen to the analysts. Draft him. Draft him top 10. Please. Begging you. Do it. Draft that boy top 10. And Saquon walk. Yeah, do it. Please. Please.
Okay. Why are you trying to set my man up for failure?
Do it.
Why are you trying to set my man up for failure?
Do it.
Let me tell y'all something. Y'all go ahead and draft JJ McCarthy so early if you want. Go ahead.
Do it.
That brother might be this year's Zach Wilson. And I just feel like if you're the 31 other NFL teams, if you didn't learn from the Jets and Zach Wilson, shame on you.
Do it, Giants. Draft JJ McCarthy. He's the quarterback of the future.
You know what's going to be funny? What happens in a few years when that Daniel Jones contract is looking a little bit better than that Jalen Hurts contract?
That won't happen. Oh, Daniel Jones the backup?
No, yeah, I'm talking about in a few years when the world is looking at that Daniel Jones contract as a steal and the rest of the world is looking at that Jalen Hurts contract as, boy, he fleeced the hell out of y'all.
Then we'll have that conversation then.
I hope we don't, because
I don't think we are. But if it happens, I didn't think we'd have the Carson conversation and we had it. So if we have to have that conversation a couple years, I'll be here ready to have it. You're on mute.
Really, he ain't doing what he's supposed to be doing.
Which he will. I trust Jalen.
All right. What other prospects from the combine do you think helped or hurted their draft stock at the combine?
I enjoy watching the big boys, Pauls, the offensive tackles, man. This offensive line draft,
it's tough.
Even if you don't need one, there's no such thing as having too many premier offensive linemen on your team. So I hope a lot of teams, the smart ones, are going to let the draft come to them. They're not going to draft based on need. They're going to draft on best player available and what the board tells them. Dog, the offensive tackles in this draft. I was like, oh, man, they do it all.
They do it all.
They do it all.
Listen, I'm going to say this. I think his name, Trey Benson, running back out of Florida State. I really like his combine. I think he'll have a good one. I'm with you. I think there are a lot of good offensive linemen. I think Kyle literally just put it in the chat. Kyle says in the chat, I wouldn't hate if the Packers went with an O lineman in the first round. Neither would I, especially knowing that David Bakhtiari is likely going to be gone from the Packers this year to save some cap space. Kyle also said, is this after the Giants cut Daniel Jones and he signs a one-year $10 million mm-hmm. deal?
Kyle, feel me. Kyle gets me.
All right. Here's what I'll say. I like Trey Benson. Let me tell you something. Xavier Worthy, after that 40 time, I said, that brother better get to calling the family.
Don't fall for it, NFL. Do not fall for it.
Don't fall for what? A receiver that can catch this fast?
Oh, John Ross?
Okay, y'all think every fast receiver is John Ross. What? Yo, Tyreek Hill was drafted after John Ross.
Tyreek Hill's an anomaly.
No, he's Jalen Waddle? Jalen Henry Waddle. Ruggs?
Henry Ruggs is in jail.
Before the drill. Come on. Y'all got to stop playing. Listen. NFL fans have like this, they're like bitter baby mothers when it comes to draft bust. Like they just feel a certain way about it and like they won't let it go. Yo,
all I'm saying is
everyone out there in the world know The Packers, historically, while we hit on quarterbacks, there are some linebackers and other defensive positions we aren't the best at.
Listen, all I'm saying is the history of super fast wide receivers, there are more misses than hits. That's not going to say Xavier Worthy is going to be a miss. I'm just saying he might as well just go ahead and start looking for homes in Vegas because they already know who they're drafting. That's the Vegas special. That's the Raiders special.
What are we going to do when the Chiefs get Xavier Worthy at pick like 32?
Everyone's going to be afraid, but they just had MVS.
Okay. Y'all keep on thinking.
I'm not saying he's going to be a bust. I don't want him to be a bust. I'm just saying history has told us that there have been more misses than hits for the
speed. History has also said if you can't fucking cover them because they're way too fast, this is a problem. Y'all gonna keep letting these teams like
straight line speed doesn't mean as much as you think it does in football.
Okay. Yo, but if you can't catch somebody, what the fuck can you do?
If that's the case, John Ross would be a Hall of Famer.
No, because he can't catch. You giving me John Ross. I'm literally giving you Tyreek Hill. I'm literally giving
Darius
you
Darius Hayward Ross. Bay. Hold on,
a bad wide receiver.
I mean, but he was the fast guy. Every Raider,
bad wide receiver. DeSean Jackson, not a bad wide receiver.
Not at all.
Y'all gonna stop playing on fast wide receivers just because they fast. Y'all leave it up to y'all. Oh, anybody can be fast and catch a football. Well, why don't you?
I'm not saying anyone can be fast. I'm just saying let's not fall in love with the 40 time.
Okay. All right. Well, tell these NFL franchises stop falling in love with QBs off of pro day throws.
Hey, I've been saying that.
Okay. Speaking of which, I know you're probably tuned into the Eagles draft board and their draft needs. Yep. Give me a player you think the Eagles need to draft this season.
Any of these offensive tackles. I know offensive line doesn't seem like a need for the Eagles, but Jason Kelsey is gone. Lane Johnson is 34. It's time to draft Lane's replacement. Plug them in at guard. Cam Jurgens is going to go from right guard to center. We need to fill in the right guard spot. Draft one of these offensive tackles. Have them play guard for a year or two until Lane Johnson retires and plug them in at right tackle.
How do you feel that the Eagles championship window is basically closed?
I don't know if it's closed. This is going to be harder though.
So close.
I don't think it's, I mean, the NFC, the NF, like who, the 49ers, the Lions, the Eagles, the
Lions.
Packers.
Lions. Fuck that's what I'm Lions. Saying.
The Cowboys. Like the NFC isn't as deep as the AFC. Like the NFC is a crapshoot. Like there are five teams in the NFC that can legitimately go to the Super Bowl next year. That's
five
it.
Is maybe a stretch. I don't know.
And five is a stretch, depending on how you feel about the Packers or the Lions or the Eagles. I'm just saying, or the Cowboys. It depends on how you feel. It depends on how you feel.
I'm trying to be objective here. I can't give my Packers.
I'm trying to be objective, right? I need to see Jordan Love do it over 17. But I know he can do it for one.
Listen, if I am the Packers, I'm going with a DB in the first round. I don't know which. I think this is a pretty deep class for DBs. So I like a number of them. But I think in this new defensive system that we'll be running, I think safety is going to be important. I think we'll be running a lot of single high safety looks. I think safety is going to be important. I think if we don't sign a good veteran safety this offseason, you better go draft one in that first round.
Hey, that's why the Eagles are going to throw everything at Xavier McKinney.
You think so?
Oh, yeah. The Eagles are going to sign the safety in free agency. The Eagles have a terrible history of drafting safeties. Howie has said safety is the hardest position for him to evaluate. So just throw money at it. That's Howie's philosophy. He did it with Malcolm Jenkins. He did it with Rodney McLeod. He traded for CJ Gardner Johnson. Howie does not believe in drafting a safety. He's going to pay one.
Shoot. We might need to. Packers, y'all hear that? Go to the school of Howie Roseman GMing because I'm in that school right now and I'm about to graduate in a few months.
Howie said, I ain't got time to watch these college safeties. I'm just going to pay one that I know can play.
Pay the player you know can play. All right, let's get to a little bit of basketball. So we have our first 40,000 career scorer. LeBron James becomes the first NBA player to score 40,000 career points. Danny, This is a silly question, but big deal or no deal on this one?
Massive deal. I saw this. Hold on. Let me see if I can find the tweet. Nick Wright said this the other day, and I thought it was amazing. For Giannis to get to 40,000 points, he needs to average 30 points per game for 75 games for the next 11 years. Luka would have to average 35 points, average 75 games for the next 12 years to reach 40,000 points. This is so impressive. It's just a reflection of LeBron's longevity, his endurance, his greatness, his skill. We've seen LeBron change his game multiple times. And when he first came in the league, he attacked the rim. Now he can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants. He's still the greatest passing. I wouldn't call him a big man, but he's the greatest passing forward, point forward ever. Like, this is just a reflection of how great LeBron has been. And if you don't appreciate it, you're just a hater, which is fine. But like, you can't sit here and tell me you can't be in awe of LeBron scoring 40,000.
40,000 points. He's top five in assists, top 10 in rebounds, I believe. Listen, I think when Naismith created basketball, he looked at Magic Johnson and said, "You are the ideal basketball player that I had in mind when I created this game. You."
Yes. No, and I don't even think I don't even think you have the imagination to think of somebody like LeBron.
Yeah, I'm saying. Then Naismith, he saw Magic, Naismith did, said, "This is what I envisioned when I created this game." Then he saw LeBron James play. Then he said, in my opinion, Naismith looked at LeBron and said, "This is the epitome of basketball perfection." Yep. There is very few flaws in his game. If any, free throw shooting might be at the top of that. And even then, when you need him to make a free throw, he will make a free throw. So we've never seen a player like this before. We've never seen a player be this good for this long. We've never seen a player be this good this long with this much public skepticism and criticism, yet always maintain a good image. No scandals, no hoes, no nothing, which in the age of the clout chasing hoes is tough.
It's LeBron, tough.
LeBron is handling business. He's a family man. He's a good man. It's a massive deal. I think what LeBron has done as an ambassador of the game of basketball, what he's done as the face of the NBA, it's Adam Silver shaking his boots because he know he got 3 years max with this guy. And then he has a very, very, very big gap to fill in this league. And I think he's still trying to figure that out. Good luck to that man.
Good luck to that man.
Another record, Caitlin Clark passes Pistol Pete to become the NCAA's all-time scoring leader. Danny, big deal or no deal that Caitlin Clark is now the greatest college basketball player ever?
This is a massive deal. The thing about Caitlin is, and I had to look this up earlier, it's the number of shots she takes. Like, she is a volume shooter. I think she was 10 from 26 on Sunday against Ohio State. So I was like, how impressive is this? She's shooting 40%, 46% from the field, which you would hope is a little bit better, but that's not terrible. And then she's shooting 39% from three, which is great. But she also leads the nation in assist, right? So it's not just Caitlin brings the ball down the floor, jacks up a three. Like, she's making plays. It's really impressive. I'm glad she decided to declare for the draft. So she's going to go to Indiana. Like, that's a done deal. She's going to play with Aaliyah Boston. I'm very intrigued to see how she played, when she's playing against the elite of elite. I think she's going to be fine. It might be a learning adjustment. This is a massive deal, man. Like, she passed Pistol Pete. Like, this is a massive deal. And I will say the Nike rollout, like, with the it was never a long shot. Did you see it in Iowa? Like, the two, dog, just a masterpiece. This is a big deal. This is great for basketball.
I think this is great for basketball. I think this is great for the University of Iowa. I think this is great for Caitlin Clark. Listen, this is all I'm going to say. In my lifetime, I've never seen an NCAA player. I've never seen a college basketball player like Caitlin Clark. I think she is deserving of all the accolades. The only thing I'm going to say, Pistol Pete didn't have a three-point line.
He didn't. And that is why that's why Kareem is my GOAT, and he always will be. Kareem did not have the three-point line, and he was an amazing scorer for two generations.
He was
three generations.
Yeah, but Kareem won't know LeBron. No, let me stop hating.
Kareem got the rings. Kareem hit, I think he hit one or two three-pointers his entire career.
That's respect. Kareem, Kareem, that's respect. That's respect.
That, like that, I can't even, but back to Caitlin.
Anybody who says Kareem as they go NBA-wise, I'm not mad. I'm just saying, yo, I watched LeBron and Kobe play, so I'm sorry.
I have two. Kareem did all that with a skyhook. Well, one move.
I think I look at the greatest, and when I look at college basketball players, it's, you know, I just look at Caitlin Clark and I say, yo, you can tell this woman is an icon because everywhere she goes, it is primetime television. People are selling out. They have to see her. I mean, it's very similar to how I felt watching LeBron play for the first time late last year when I went to my first Lakers game. I was almost giddy to see him live and in person, and even in person, you could just tell he has an aura about him. There's something that when he steps on the floor, everyone knows. And I think Caitlin Clark has a similar aura, not saying she's a LeBron-esque, but you could tell she has an aura. So when she's on the court, every one of her teammates feel confident that they have a chance to win the game. And I think that's really impressive. Speaks to her work ethic and her game.
Yeah, overall. I guess I'm just really excited to see how she translates to the league. It's going to be very interesting.
Since we're on basketball,
yeah.
Before we get to our WWE talk, ladies and gentlemen, Danny and I, we were on social media. And the thing about this social media thing is that sometimes you see some things that you're just like, this can't be real life. But sometimes you find out it is real life. Ladies and gentlemen, we were on social media. As a matter of fact, I wanna make sure I pull this one up. We were on social media.
Pizza location.
Ladies and gentlemen, apparently there is what is known, and I don't know where this is. Oh, no.
Peep the location of the tweet I tagged you in.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I take that back. Now that I do know the location, I am ashamed of my city. I'm ashamed of my state. I'm ashamed of my people. So apparently in the 804 in Richmond, Virginia, there is this thing going on called buns and basketball. Now you hear this and you're thinking, well, why are they baking bread and playing basketball? Nope, not that type of buns. This is straight ass and buns.
Can I tell you where this game was played?
Where?
Diversity Thrift.
Let me show you, ladies and gentlemen, let me show you the promo video. I'm not even.
Okay, yeah, share the screen. Yeah. Fuck it. If we get in trouble, this is too funny. There it is.
I got this up. Richmond, Virginia. March 2nd. Two turnt steppers in. Buns and basketball.
What are we doing?
They bringing the buns. I'm bringing the buns. I'm bringing the basketball.
Where's the pick and roll, though?
Post it back out there. Chase it.
You see that cross up?
Break it down. Come shake some ass. Let's have fun.
You see that cross up? Let's show how to stop you. I see you. Uh-oh.
Got him.
She said nothing but happening. I'm seeing some decent like basketball moves here. I'm a little bit confused on why they felt the need to like wear like G-strings and thongs. I saw a good little cross up. I saw some good screens being set. I saw some good rolls of the basket. Why not just put these girls in basketball shorts? why we can't just put them in regular basketball shorts?
All I'm saying is if you paid your hard-earned money to sit courtside at buns and basketball, you need to be put on the list. Like, not the sexual predator list, but maybe the list underneath that.
No. You're being too nice. If you're paying hard-earned money to be at Bunsen Basketball, you need to be on Chris Jericho's list. You need to be on the blacklist. You need to be on all the lists, you fucking sicko. Why, are you serious? What? You can watch pick and rolls anywhere. You in Houston, VCU, you got VCU and the University of Richmond. But nah, let some black women put on some G-strings. Now you got to see some pick and roll action to see who can get to the basket for. What's wrong
just
with
go
y'all
to the paper
here?
Moon.
What's wrong with my paper people moon. Out here? What's wrong know. With my people out here?
When I saw that it was in Richmond, I almost passed out. Like, I saw this weekend, and I was like, huh, it looks like someone just rolled some basketball hoops into a cafeteria, and then someone's like, oh, no, that's in Richmond. I was like, oh, no, not us. Not my people. Yeah, this my horny? People. You this horny?
You know I want to move back to Richmond, too, but if this is what we're coming to now...
Nah, dog, don't come back. I want to move out. If this was my city, if this is what my city has come to, I want out.
If
get
this,
me out of here.
If this new era of Richmond, I don't
it's
need
it's not
that.
For me. It's not for me.
It's not for me.
It's not for me.
Yo, you ever think it's crazy that a man got on camera and was like, yo, and all and nothing but MAGA stuff on. If this new era of racism, I need that.
Yeah, I'm the opposite. If this that new Richmond, I'm out. Like, the place was packed. Would you, like, if you're a dude and you go to that, like, what's the, like, what is the best case scenario in your mind? Like, you see the promo, like, dudes catching twerk. What? You just didn't go to the club?
One of you sick, nasty fucks is going to try to take something home from that night. She ain't going to wash her ass. You going to, you know.
Oh, and stick your face. Yeah, let's talk about something else.
Hey, yo!
No, I'm good.
To the WWE, ladies and gentlemen. Yep. So, Danny, what are your thoughts on The Rock and Roman Reigns challenging Cody and Seth Rollins to a match on night one of WrestleMania? And Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins basically coming out and saying, we'll give you our answer on Friday Night SmackDown. I think we can assume this is going to be a yes. So, yep. What are your thoughts on this? Two nights, Bloodline versus Seth and Cody on night one. Night two, it's going to be Cody versus Roman for the championship. It's either going to be in Bloodline rules if Roman wins, or no Bloodline at all if Cody wins.
I want to say that, like, I've had to put percentages on it. 60% tells me Roman's going to retain his title. 40% tells me Cody's going to win. But I think the story is going to lead to, we're going to get that Rock versus Roman match, but all the respect's going to be gone. Like, these promos with The Rock and Roman, you can feel the tension. Like, The Rock is speaking on behalf of Roman. He doesn't like that. Paul Heyman telling Roman he got to wait because The Rock is coming. Like, no. And then Roman's like, yo, you got to acknowledge me. Oh, we setting this up. Like, The Rock going to cause to Roman his title because The Rock been running his mouth. And Roman gonna beat his ass. Sign me up.
Here's the thing. I think that is what they want to sell. I think what you're saying is the direction they want to sell. But
yeah,
I think here's my thing. I think with them adding the match on day one for the chance of Cody and Seth to win the match to make the match one on one. I honestly think Cody and Seth are going to win that match.
I think they are too.
But I think Roman is going to beat Cody straight up one-on-one cleanly.
Yeah, that's what I said. 60-40 Roman retains.
And I think I think what it then opens up is I think when we leave from WrestleMania, we're going to have Roman with the belt, but I think we're going to get a real real bloodline civil war. I think Jay is going to try to cost Roman the title. It's going to be unsuccessful. And so I think it's going to be like an all free-for-all for the championship between Solo, Roman, Jay, and Jimmy. And I think once Roman wins that, reclaims his title, brings the bloodline back together, I think that's when The Rock kind of comes back and is like, oh, we did the Cody thing, but remember, I still want to be head of the table.
So I am with you. For me, I think Roman beats Cody straight up, and The Rock comes in and closes WrestleMania, rock bottom in Roman.
But then I guess, where does that leave Roman versus Rock then? Because that's WrestleMania worthy. So then do they spend the next year going into a bloodline civil war?
Really? So I would think they would make that SummerSlam. I think you can stretch this out to SummerSlam. I don't know if you can stretch it out a whole year.
I think you could stretch it to SummerSlam potentially, but it doesn't have the same oomph as a match. Like, but you do got to sell
Crown Jewel. Or you could, yeah, it could be like a Civil War, and SummerSlam is like Roman and Solo versus Rock and Jay or whatever. And then you just lead this up to WrestleMania. That's a lot of water in the ketchup to stretch this story out.
Yeah.
But so, yeah, when you think of it like that, yeah, your version is a lot better.
Yeah, I could, yeah, we could see it. Either way, I like what they're doing. I think Cody, you should have picked Seth, big dog. Nia Jax attacking Becky Lynch and vice versa. Do you think we're setting up for a triple threat match at WrestleMania?
I'll take
Nia Jax, Rhea Ripley, Becky Lynch.
And throw in Liv Morgan. I think it's a fatal four-way because Liv has been inserting herself into these conversations too.
She got beef with Becky. She ain't like that.
She don't like Becky at all. I think we're aiming for a fatal four-way. I don't care as long as Rhea retains.
I like that. I'm a fan of the pay-per-views that have just a variety of matches. So yeah, of course we have our one-on-one match, but give me a fatal four-way. Give me a triple threat. Give me like random different types of matches. I'm like, oh, this is cool. A different
thing. And if we really want to up the ante, make it a steel cage, a fatal four-way in a steel cage. I'll take that.
My money's on Nia Jax if that happens.
Nah, my money, Rhea. There's so much story left in the Judgment Day. It has to be Rhea.
Okay, Mr. Horny. Okay. No, okay, I got you.
Okay. All right.
Okay, last couple things. Shout out to Sting. He had his last match. It was an AEW over the weekend, so happy retirement, Stinger. Glad it was a good match. He went out on his own terms. Crazy-ass match, but he had his family there. So,
dog, Darby Allin is insane.
No, that brother's insane. Jumping over onto, like, full glass, like, ugh.
See his back? Nah, dog. Wouldn't be one of us.
They couldn't pay me enough for that. And shout out to Paul Heyman for being inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame. That's a really, really big deal. So
I thought he was already in the Hall of Fame. It's crazy that he wasn't. I thought he was already in there.
Same. Shout out to Paul Heyman. Last question of the day, Danny. Well, first off, I want to acknowledge something because Kyle said this twice. So when it came to LeBron, Kyle said he scored 40,000, but he never got 100 points in a game. And then he also said when it came to Caitlin Clark has the most NCAA points ever, but did she ever get 100 points in the game? Kyle, I want to let you know, the NBA doesn't even have the footage of Wilt scoring 100 points. So I'm going to let you know right now. Huh?
It didn't happen. I'm fully on your side on this conspiracy theory. It never happened.
It never happened. Kyle, they have pictures and videos of Wilt Chamberlain MLK's funeral, but they ain't got no type of imagery or footage of Wilt scoring 100 points. Let it go, big dog. From now on, ask if any of these players scored 81. They didn't. That's the right
thing. I think Kyle is hinting that he thinks it's fake, too. I think he's on our side on this one. If I'm wrong, Kyle, let me know. I think
he's talking about the record?
Yeah, I think Kyle's with us. That is a conspiracy. It did not
listen, happen. Here's my thing. Ooh, let me stop. Nah, this is gonna be spicy. It's gonna be spicy. How do we make fun of Wilt Chamberlain and that era of basketball players for playing against milkmen when you see some of these teams that college players play against?
Yeah, you can't do that. Yeah.
You get what I'm saying here though?
Yeah. I got you.
Like how we give Wilt this shit, but like some of these college players are literally playing against.
I guess college players aren't held to the same level as NBA players. Cool. The NBA is the most competitive league on the planet, allegedly. Like, that's where the cream
of the crop. Most competitive league, but they don't have any sort of footage of their highest scoring points scored.
I'm with you. When we first started this, that's the first thing you talked about on the very first episode. And I was like, huh, he on to something.
Not a one.
He on to something.
All right, last thing, WWE-wise. So I'm going to ask you, which champion is carrying the WWE over the last year between Rhea Ripley, Roman Reigns, and Seth Rollins? Who would you take?
Who gets the most ratings? When Roman is scheduled to appear on SmackDown, I know he doesn't work every week like Seth and Rhea, but that's the point. Roman says, I can show up whenever I want. I am going to draw ratings. I am going to get the highly rated matches. I do what I want. That's what it is. It's Roman. Roman's been carrying. Now, if you're talking about that, I think there are different things, right? There's someone who's carrying the company, and then you have like your workhorses, right? Like you can put Seth as a workhorse. Like, you know, Seth's going to be there Monday. He's going to wrestle. And if he's not going to wrestle, he's going to throw hands. He's going to do something. Roman's carrying this thing. People pay to see Roman. Roman goes last. Roman's in the main event. When Roman starts the show, the ratings are higher, then they fall off. When Roman ends the show, the ratings are the highest. It's Roman Reigns.
He's that guy. Let me ask you something. If you had to choose, who would be your number two then? Because I think I might be with you on Roman Reigns being number one, but I'm curious, before we get a little bit more into number one, who your number two would be.
It's Rhea, right? So what are the two biggest storylines in wrestling? The Bloodline and Judgment Day. Those are the two ones in WWE. So who are the leaders? Roman and Rhea. Like, those are your leaders. So for me, it's Roman, Rhea, and then Seth is the workhorse. Like, Rhea doesn't wrestle every week. Like, she might cut a promo. Seth doing something. Like, he fighting someone, whether it's a sanctioned match or he getting into something backstage, or he come and save someone from getting beat up. Seth fighting somebody. He the workhorse. Every time. The other two, they have other things to worry about. They're there to lead a faction. They aren't running by themselves.
I want to play something. I want to share my screen to let y'all know why I'm with Danny on this. Simple. If you don't believe me when it comes to who runs this country, company, just listen to this. Listen to this. Look at this. He bathing in it now. He's supposed to be a heel. Listen to this. He's supposed to be a heel. Listen to this response they're giving him right now.
Oh, we'll get to him, but first, Birmingham, Alabama.
Come on. Listen to this pop. Come on. Who are we talking about here?
What are we talking about?
Acknowledge.
Throw your ones up.
To move forward, things said on Monday.
Here we go.
That we just can't let slide.
Listen, when y'all want to talk about the face of
my little brother Seth Rollins.
Talk to him,
exactly,
Roman.
No pop.
Talk to him, Roman.
He said he's got the title, the title. So I had to think about it. I'm like, didn't I beat everybody competing for that title?
Ball.
Talk to him.
I make all them my number twos.
Number two.
Huh.
Dose. Should we call that the loser bracket
title?
Lose
the title.
And then he had the audacity to say that he was the guy. You can't be running around here for 2 years in your wife's clothes and say you're the guy.
Now they got a little ice in there. Come on.
And then he wants to say he's a workhorse. But 3 months in, he broke his back trying to carry that show. Let me ask y'all this. Do workhorses walk like this?
Got him.
Get him.
Got him.
Hell no. And then he wants to attack my schedule? Oh, come on. This is
now
simple.
This bar right here.
I work less than you, yes. That's true. Actually, I work like 10 times less than you. And I still make 10 times more than you.
Tell him.
So I'll ask y'all. You want Seth Rollins money? Or tribal chief money.
Take your broke ass home.
What? Yo, is that not funny? Ladies and gentlemen, don't get mistaken about who runs this company. When it comes to WWE, that man right there, Roman Reigns,
he's the guy.
He's the guy.
He is the guy.
He's the guy. That's honestly, I've been thinking about, I've been trying to find a way to make part of that like a new drop for a DJ set. I just don't know which parts I'm going to cut up though. Because to play something like that, you got to know that you really him, because he getting his shit off. He getting his shit off.
You know what we should do every week? We should play a wrestling promo.
I'm down. I can find plenty of wrestling promos. Let me tell you one of the funniest things I did over the past weekend. Because I was trying to find old wrestling promos to make new DJ drops to. So I went down a rabbit hole of old John Cena, Doctor of Thugonomics.
Oh, buddy. We got to go. No, sir.
Listen. There was like three or four where I was like, yo, how the fuck did John Cena get this off? Like, how the fuck did somebody say, green light, go ahead and say it, buddy? Because I was like, oh, damn,
hey, John. Vince ain't care.
He did. Danny, let the great people know where to find you at, my brother.
Y'all can find me on X at DannyOcean41. Follow the pod. Speak on _pod on X, Instagram, TikTok. Send us your emails. Hold on. I have the screen. Give me a second. SpeakOnAPod14@gmail.com. Again, that's SpeakOnAPod14@gmail.com. Give us your questions. We are here to help the community however we can, but we will not be doing buns and basketball.
No buns and basketball. Danny, we got an owner's meeting coming up in our fantasy
league. Yeah, we do. That's in 3 weeks.
Yeah, sometime soon. Sometime soon.
Yeah.
Really excited to see where we go in this league and what folks are thinking. It's funny, the league has kind of slowed down. It's funny, bam. I don't want to say it, but one trade in particular stopped a lot of trades because it fucked up a lot of value on wide receivers.
Yes, it did.
Bam. You got to talk to – listen, next time you talk to Bam, just ask him if he noticed that no one has made a single trade since he made that trade for Jalen Waddle.
I would do no such thing because I too hope to trade with Bam in the future. I will not embarrass him.
Y'all stop, leave that boy alone. Y'all be stealing from him because he be impulsive. And y'all know it. Leave him alone. Ladies and gentlemen, make sure you're following myself on X. I lost my train of thought because I'm thinking about Bam and how y'all be fleecing. Make sure y'all follow myself on X, Twitter, YouTube, Twitch, TikTok at Los Dmix. Make sure you follow the pod. Speak on _pod. Kyle, yes, the owner's meeting is very, very soon. I believe it is this Sunday. It's either this Sunday or next. So really excited to see where the league's taking us. I think Danny was talking about the rookie draft in a few weeks.
Yeah, that's on me.
Yeah.
Well, the rookie draft is after the main draft, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Rookie draft will be after the main draft. I feel pretty confident in knowing who I'm going to take at 102. It's funny because I have 102 in this league, and then in another dynasty league, I have 103 and 106, and that's a super flex league. And so I'm thinking at 103, Jaden Daniels might be there because it'll go Caleb, Marvin Harrison Jr., and then should go Jaden Daniels. And then I'm hoping at 106, Malik Nabers might be there.
Oh, that's a big risk.
But, I mean, the only other thing I could do – well, here's the thing. I pick at 103 and 106, and picks 104 and 105. Those teams don't necessarily need QBs, but they don't necessarily not need QBs either.
Okay.
So if they do end up taking a QB, then I might be better
shot.
Yeah, I'm trying to basically figure out: should I take Jaden Daniels 103 and then hope Romo Dunze or Malik Nabers is there at 106, or take Malik Nabers and Romo Dunze at 103 and hope Jaden Daniels is there at 106.
No, I would take Jaden because the person, whoever is behind you, is going to take Drake May. So that means you're going to get either or.
Romo Dunze or Malik Nabers.
Yeah, I would take Jaden.
Who do you think is going to be better between those two? Romo Dunze. Romo Dunze, Malik Nabers.
I have no idea. I'm going to say Malik Nabers because his name is cool.
He's faster too, so we'll see. Ladies and gentlemen, you could have been anywhere in the world, but you were here with us. Yo, I did a fuck. I was practicing earlier, and I did like a fire mashup with fucking. You remember Anthony Hamilton? I Want to Be With You. That was by accident. Anthony Hamilton's I Want to Be With You. I did some fire shit. Fucking, it was. I Want to Be With You into Cleo Soul when your arms hold me, or when your arms see me, or something like that. I forgot the exact name of the song. That sounds
okay.
Oh, because I got a gig on Thursday, but it's very, the ambiance is very chill. So I'm trying not to get too much into my shoot 'em up bang bang bag. I'm trying to get into my.
Yeah, these are grown folks.
Grown folks. The grown folks don't want to hear that. Never mind.
No, I don't know Thursday night. They don't. No, they don't.
Oh man. Kyle said Malik Nabers over Dunze, by the way. So
Kyle has spoken.
Ladies and gentlemen, could have been anywhere in the world, but you're here with us. Make sure over the next week or two you continue to speak on it. We will actually be off the next 2 weeks, dealing with some personal stuff, taking a little March early spring vacation. So the next time we come back to you all will be March 26th.
Yeah, 26th sounds right.
Yeah, March 26th. So enjoy the month of March, people. We'll be back in a few weeks, but until then, make sure you stay blessed and stay happy. Make sure you speak on it. Peace.